for which you believe and which you do what you believe. So today, now that you know who he is in your life, and I hope some of you took some retrospect to find out how important he is to you. You see, we can tell how important God is to you by how you act, how you respond, how you do what you do. We can also tell how insignificant he may be. And the reason is because you will do what it is that is close to you. Like we said, what is precious. Amen? Today's subtitle would be, who are you in him? Now that we know who he is, who are you in him? In other words, who am I to God? And how did this relationship work? Well, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, in order to understand what God is about. Why wouldn't he not place it in the first book? We also referenced the very first chapter and very first verse last week, in the beginning, God. Amen? Now let's see who we are in him. Starting with verse 26. Are you there? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What the world says and what the word says, who are you in him? Now we have this feeling that we are not special. We do. We act like we are unworthy. Our mind tells us that. Our friends and our family tell us that. So we don't seem to value our lives. We don't value what we have, what we are, and what we bring. We think that if something should happen good, it's just luck. Well, it's by chance that I happen to get a blessing this way. What we are not realizing is that we are more than just flesh. How do I know this? Or how do I derive this? Well, the very first book of the Bible indicates that God created us in his image. In other words, this God that is so big and so wide took some dirt and formed man, but he didn't just form us. Because if he is, and he is God, remember, I am that I am. If he is that big of God, then he could have formed us in anything he wanted to. For the evolutionaries, if God wanted us to be monkeys, we would have been monkeys. If he wanted us to be trees, we would have been trees. Whatever was on God's mind is what we would have been. But God thinks more highly of us than we think of ourselves. When you begin to make or create something in your mind, you have a vision formulated of what it is you want to do. Even if you are not a good artist, you still formulate what it is you want to do. And so what I'm saying is that here God has formulated in his mind that I want to create man in the image of myself. Yes, sir. Yeah. So if I want man to represent who I am, if I want man to be a part of what I am, then I need to create them in a manner that they will be able to see me. In other words, God don't create no junk. Yes, and he don't make no mess. Yes, he carefully scooped the dust out of the ground, formed it into the image of himself, and then blew. I just want you to know this morning that you are more special than you think. You're more important than you feel. And we need to begin to tap into the importance that God has placed on each individual's life. God ain't just making dirt and blowing breath. I mean, you're talking about his breath. Not no ordinary breath. I'll blow on you, you might go, red. My breath won't do nothing but either upset you or enlighten you. God's breath will change you. He will change an inanimate object into an animate object. His breath has the power to give life to what was once dead. And so if he's spending all this time blowing some breath into some dirt, and yet we don't recognize him as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We limit ourselves. We shortchange ourselves. We don't walk like the king's kids. Why do we struggle? Huh? Why do you struggle? Time after time, day after day, falling into the same ruts, the same sins that overwhelm you. The same thing. And every time we turn around, Lord, please deliver me from this mess. Well, you know who he is, but you still don't realize who you are. The text indicates that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Man was created first. Argue it if you want, but it's in the text. Female was pulled out of man. But yet we got an issue being connected with a real man. We want to step outside. We don't want to appreciate or understand how we work together. And so what we want to do is what we want to do. Our flesh says, I'm better than you. The man will argue back, you not. God would argue, you both are one. In other words, work together. But since we don't recognize who we are in him, we have distorted the creation. Number one, we want to believe in evolution. Number two, we want to recognize a man being able to fall in love with another man. A woman be able to fall in love with another woman, and it's okay, and we ought to be politically accepting of this now. Because it's okay. Because that's what the world says. Yeah. Who are we to tell somebody who they can love and can't love. But the word of God is distinct and accurate. He made it them for one another. The old saying, I didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. But because we fight him on so many angles, we allow the world's view to creep in. Well, maybe it ain't so bad. I had a conversation with a man, and he was mad at me because I was so closed-minded. Why couldn't they? Or how come they should not be able to fall in love and get married? Because they don't produce nothing. They don't produce nothing, and God said it's contrary to his word. You ever tried all day to put two plugs together? I don't care how hard you try, there's no spark. Stick a plug in a socket and see what happens. So there is a distinct line between what's right and what's wrong. But the reason why we fall for it is because we don't know who we are in him. We don't understand, but if you really look deep into this text, the Bible says that he blessed them. He blessed them in the arena that he created us in. And when he blessed us, he said, now be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, how in the world is me and Millie going to replenish the earth?
Oh, Lord. Yeah. That was Jesus.
Yeah. Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
So that's not spiritual, that's fleshly.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
This makes my skin crawl. Just the thought. But for some people, it doesn't. Because they're not here to fulfill God's plan. They want to fulfill their own fleshly plan. He's given us dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In other words, I'm giving you what I've created. Now, God got to be crazy. But we feel as though we're not special. But yet, number one, he made us in his image. Uh-huh. And number two, he gave us control over the world.
Wow.
How much more do you have to hear about how special you are?
Wow.
How much more does God have to present when the very first book of the Bible tells you that you are in the image of him, and now I'm giving you dominion over what I've created? He made it all first. I mean, number one, he laid it down and prepared it for you. Here we have Adam and Eve in the garden. Everything they could have ever wanted or desired was in the garden. But they wanted more. Because enough ain't never enough. That's what the flesh says. Lord, I know you've given us everything. I know we were made in your image. I know you've given us control of everything. But how come we can't have that one thing right there? Some things we can't handle. And God knows. You know why he knows? Because he did what? He created us. Well, how come I can't have what so-and-so have? How come I can't have what she have? How come I can't have what he have? How come I can't have more than what I have? You're not appreciative of what God has given you in the first place, and you're still wanting because you don't realize who you are in him.
Well,
see, when you understand who you are in him, I'm satisfied.
Well,
I don't have to covet what anybody else has. I'm satisfied with who I am in God.
Yes, sir.
When I look at the mirror, I can say, my, I'm looking like God today.
Yes,
every one of us can look at the mirror and say, I'm looking like God today. I may not be as good looking as this person, or as good looking, or as slim, or as small, but no matter how big or how small, I look like God. So that's something to shout about. That's something to be happy about. That's something to sit there. If you were feeling down, it should pick you up.
Yes, sir.
I got a pimple here. I got a disfiguration here. My arm don't work. It don't matter, because you are the image of God. So even if there's all negative around you, you should be able to find something positive when you look at yourself in the mirror and say, some part of me has God in them. So I'm going to follow him. I'm not. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what they say I look like. It doesn't matter if they say I'm no good, or you should have never been here. You a mistake. How can man make a mistake over God? How can you make a mistake over the one who created? David said, when I was in my mother's womb, you knew who I was. So how in the world could that mistake override what God already knew? So even if your parents were foolish enough to think that you were a mistake, you got to let them know, well, I may seem like a mistake to you, but when I look into the mirror, I see the image of God created me, and me was created by him. Therefore, you may have been the vessel, but only God can put me together in my mother's womb. And even if you ain't my mother, God will be my mother for me. In other words, I can't let your perception alter mine. Because, see, yours is faulty because you don't know who you are in him. I got some folks running around here still talking stories about what other folks done in the past. Just talking. It has no relevance. It does no good. But because you can gossip, because you can talk, you're going to talk about stuff because your junk is so messed up, you don't want nobody to see yours. You want to pull attention to somebody else's mess. The problem is you don't know the God that's in you. Can you imagine little gods talking all the mess that we talk? Huh? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the angels acting like us? There was one, and he got kicked out.
Yeah.
The rest of them never said another mumbling word after that. But that's who we are. We belong to him first and foremost. Secondly, he took enough time out of his busy schedule to create us. Thirdly, he put us in control of what he created. In other words, he considers us to be very important and significant. Look at this. Hebrews 3:4 says, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. So in other words, even if you feel like you've done something special, when you know who you are in God, you realize it wasn't you that done something special. It was the God in you who done something special, because everything that was ever created came from who? God. So who are we to take credit for what we never created? That's the flesh. Oh, I preached that sermon. Oh, I sang that song. Oh, I did that work. Oh, I performed that. That's what I love about Dr. Ben Carson. He realized that it is not his gift, but the gift that God gave him. So he gives the praise back to God, because without God, he has no gift. In other words, he knows who God is in him. But we struggle. Don't we struggle? Who are you in him? I mentioned Romans 8:28. Let's go back to Romans 8. Starting with verse 5. Listen to this. For those who live according to the flesh have their outlook shaped by things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by things of the Spirit. So in other words, if I dwell on the flesh, then I'm going to be a fleshly mess. But if I deal with the Spirit, then those things that would bother me in the flesh don't move me in the Spirit. And so if I've been born again, I have been changed by the renewing of what? My mind. Therefore, I am now a new creature, and old things are what? Passed away. The reason why the old things have not passed away is because you don't know who you are in him. You still thinking you a bastard.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. You was born out of wedlock. No, 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 no. You are the very child of God. And ain't nothing unholy about you. But as long as you keep thinking that, you won't amount to nothing. And you can't help nobody amount to nothing. You got to walk with your head held high. You got to know that I'm no mistake. You got to know that God created you. You got to know that God called you forth. You got to know that God carries you every day you wake up and God lays you down at night. You got to know who God is because he said, I created you in my image, not to fail you, not to leave you, but so that you knew that you always belong to someone. And who's the someone greater than me? Well, Rev, I don't have a mom and daddy. And your point is what? Because God can be both your mama and daddy, and what he can't cover, he can send and say, look, that's your mom and your daddy. Didn't he say, woman, behold our son? Son, behold our mother? So don't always look to me when you can look through me and understand that I will set you up with the stuff that you need. But you got to first think you're worthy of it.
Come on, preach.
Church is full of folks who are broken. That's why they come. The problem is that you keep pulling off the band-aids before the healing is done. You walk through the door, you cut, you hurt up, the Spirit fixes you up, and as soon as you walk back out the door, you take it all off again. You deliberately take it off because you don't really want to be healed. You don't want to be whole. You like being down in the dumps so somebody can come along and say, oh, what's wrong, baby? How can I help you this morning? You're not feeling well? When you walk in the power, and I heard y'all talking this morning in Sunday school, and I preached about it several weeks ago. When you are born again, the Spirit comes in.
Yes, sir.
But that don't activate the power.
Come on, God.
So there's ultimately two births. There is the one where Christ comes in because we got enough sense to accept him. But the power of the Spirit isn't activated until you get connected and stay in there. If you put a light source on a table and keep flicking the switch and it ain't plugged in, it's just a light on a table. But when you plug it up, and then you turn the switch, you realize that you've been connected to a source which now gives everlasting power. So as long as they connected, the light will always shine unless the light itself burns out because the power is too much over a long period of time. If you don't know how to keep getting refueled or you don't change your bulb from time to time, you're going to miss out on the flow of power. So if we don't know who we are in him, how can the power of the Spirit move through us with no connection?
Come on, preach.
Last week we said, who is he?
Yes,
so we know he is the power source.
Yes,
now who are we in him? Now we got to realize that we need to connect to the source in order to have the power to feel, to walk, to act, to talk like children of God. We like to use our flesh as a way out.
Woo.
That's my scapegoat. When I was in the world, fornicating, not saving myself, because the world said, unless you doing something, something must be wrong with you.
Yeah.
And the women was told, well, unless you giving them something, you ain't going to be able to keep them.
Well.
Now, we both had spiritual backgrounds.
Yeah.
We both knew who God was,
yeah.
But we was operating in the flesh.
Well.
Because we was trying to look the same as the world and then pass it off as Christian living. And then when we united and been separated, we looked at God and said, why? Well, number one, you never followed his plan. He said to remain abstinent until you get married. In other words, God knows that the longer you remain abstinent and you are dealing with your significant other, that gives you time to build a relationship so that you will know who he is and she will know who you are, so that when the troubled times do come, you'll be able to handle some storms. The problem is that when you connect before you know, when the storm comes, you out. Because I have nothing vested.
Yeah.
Oh, but it feels so good, Red. That's why you're good and lost. Because pleasure don't last always. But true love does.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But true love takes time.
Yeah.
The Bible says that love is long-suffering,
yeah.
Patient, kind.
Yeah.
These are things that are built up over time.
Yeah.
So God, he loves us. And we a mess to him. At our best. But does he turn his back? No. David said, when I'm at the gutter, the uttermost parts of the earth,
uh-huh.
If I make my bed in hell.
Yeah. All right.
Now, how close are you to your spouse? There is a process. And you live and you learn. My problem is when you make the same mistake over and over again, trying to please the flesh when the flesh don't want nothing. Now, let me finish that. I'll finish that. Go back to Romans 8, starting on 6. For the outlook of the flesh is death, but the outlook of the spirit is life and peace. Because the outlook of the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit. That's the word we don't like, submit. Submit means to die to oneself. Even if you ain't happy, you ain't understand it. Lord, I don't want to be my... Look, submit to the law of God, nor is able to do so. So you battle a losing battle if you try to battle the flesh. Because we keep giving to the flesh because the flesh cries out the most. And the only reason the flesh cries out the most is because we're not in tune to the spirit, because our spirit is there, but there's no power.
Okay.
You're not connected. You ain't been to Bible study. You ain't been to Sunday school. You ain't been to church. You ain't been to the word. You ain't praying at night. You ain't reading the word of God. You're not surrounding yourself with other folks with the same like, well, let me check that back. You're surrounding yourself with folks, but they ain't Christian. And so therefore, their agenda ain't your agenda, but you got more of them with you than you got saints with you. So what happens is you fall to their agenda, and then you try to wonder why God has forsaken me. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person does not what? Belong to him. So therefore, we're operating with the Spirit, but acting like we don't belong because we don't follow what we're supposed to follow, and then we still wonder, am I going to heaven?
Come on now.
Oh, Lord.
Come on now.
Well, you got to check your salvation.
Well.
Did you truly accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Are you doing the things that would have changed your life to push you closer to Him? It's like buying a game, opening up the game and not reading the instructions, just playing it however you want to play it. He gives us a book of instructions, 66 books of it. Some of you say, well, some of that I don't need. You need every bit of it. Because you got to identify and understand, why did He take time to write what He wrote? But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is your life because of righteousness. Moreover, if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, now I want you to see this right here. The one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through His Spirit who lives in you. Now, why would He resurrect what He didn't make? Here comes your special point again. You're so special from day one that He created us and blew life in us. Right? He then sent His only begotten Son. He came down Himself in the flesh to die for who He created. Right? Then He's coming back again to blow the breath of life again into that which is dead so that it might live again forevermore. And you tell me you ain't important. You tell me that you just who you are. No, y'all. Don't let false religions praise God more than you praise Him. All right, don't let folks in their false religion, their false worship, their false, go look. If you want to know what happens to those who turn their backs on God, just read the book of Ezekiel. Read Jeremiah. I mean, read it. It's some hard stuff up in there because they rejected God. And God was fed up with the whole thing. Hey, don't pray for these people no more because they have turned my house into a den of iniquity. They have laughed in my face and say, you are not God. They have put their faith in idols and pieces of craft and not the Holy One who lives. And so therefore, I'm going to take, He said, I will starve them to death. I will disease them. I will do everything that they have done to me. I'm just going to give back what you've given. Now, here's the question. Do you want God to give back to you what you gave Him?
Uh-oh. My, my, my. That's a good question, Reverend.
And the only reason we can is because we don't know who we are in Him. Yeah. When you know who you are in your daddy, I'm just going to talk about your earthly daddy right now. When you know who you are in your own father, if your father is a father of good character, good moral judgment, is highly sought out, highly thought about in the community, that makes you feel 100% better when you come and you say, I am the son of so-and-so. And they say, well, I know him. That's a good man. That must be a good boy right there too. Or you say, well, I am the son of so-and-so. And they say, that's no good, dirty. So we are associated with who we know, and we ourselves identify with what we were brought up under, but it does not have to signify who we are. At some point, you got to recognize that God the Father supersedes all earthly fathers. If you had a good father, that's a good thing. If you had a bad father, that's a bad thing. But whether good or bad, you got an earthly or heavenly father who's good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So I identify with my heavenly father first. Everything else falls up under submission to that. So you may can hold me down for being a son of so-and-so, but ultimately I'm a child of the king, and he has the clear. I got some open doors where doors will be closed to you. I got an all-access pass because I know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I'm not working on your timetable. I'm not working on who you think you know. I know who I am in Christ. Therefore, you can't touch me now. What the world says and what the word says. The world says you nobody. The word says you are somebody. The world says you no good. The word says all things that I created, when I looked at it, I saw it, it was what? Good. You got to understand that it's not just for me to sit here and tell you. Because really that means nothing. You got to believe it, know it, and understand it, and realize that you are worth more than what you've been selling yourself for. Things might not pan out the way you want. Because the way you want, you're looking through the flesh. But when you start looking through the spirit, you realize, I ain't doing that bad by myself. I realize that God has a purpose for me. God has a plan for me. God will look after me. He will watch over me. He will do it for me. Right now.
Right now.
But what you want to understand is when you get connected to the spirit and you have your perspective, now is not a fleshly now, but a spiritual now. In other words, you got to keep walking until now arrives the way you are. Yeah. See, we wanted yesterday, but yesterday ain't God's time today. But God said, I'm going to give it to you. I'll do it for you. But you keep on walking until you walk into the now. My wife preached on the power of now. You got to understand that now will meet you. Huh? Not supersede, but meet you where you're going. So if you sitting here and you ain't going nowhere, Lord, woe is me, I don't know nothing. Now is out there, but you still living right here. You'll never get to now because you so stuck on where you are. Remember, your purpose is bigger than what? Your circumstances. In other words, you got to keep moving forward. We don't have time to worry about the mess going on. But the only reason we do is because we don't know who we are in Him. The world says you ain't gonna make it. The word says keep holding on. I'm coming back. And I'm going to take care of everything that you thought was out of place. You may not have your riches now, but I got riches in glory like you ain't never seen before. You may not have a house on a hill here, but my Father has a man. My Father has a house full of many mansions. In other words, inside of a house, there's a mansion. I ain't never seen that, but I ain't never seen what God has in store for us either, have I? So therefore, we have a hope that keeps pushing us each and every day. That's a hope that is coming. There's a hope that is waiting for. There's a hope that even when I leave here, I know I'll rise again. Because I am that special to the one who created me. I'm gonna read one last verse here. I know we in teaching mode, and I got a lot. I'm trying not to put it all in one, and I know I got more, but let me just read this. Verse 36 in the same Romans 8. As it is written, for your sake, we encounter death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we have complete victory through Him who loved us. For I am convinced. Listen to this, and I'm going to stop at the end of this. For I am convinced, in other words, I know who I am in Him. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heaven. Matter of fact, read it with me. Read it with me, and we're going to close on that spot, because I want you to understand. Starting with verse 838, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The doors of the church are open this morning. Amen, amen, and amen. Who are you in him? That's how you operate. That's how you're going to be successful. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. You got to know who you are in him. He cares about you more than anybody else would ever care. More than a mother, more than a father, more than a brother, a sister, a friend, a homie. Whoever you consider close, God cares more about your life. Family will put us in bad situations. Friends will put us in bad situations. But God,